amen to that? Praise God. I know for a fact he's a chain breaker. Amen. If you've ever been bound, come on. If you've ever been captive, amen. If you've ever been so far down, you don't know better. And full of glory. Amen. Join with me and give the Lord a great big hand.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and praise the Lord.
Now I want you to sing, but I want you to sing like you've been set free.
Praise the Lord. He set me free. Well, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. Broke all the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. Yes, He set me free. Prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day.
What's the rest of it? What is it?
Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted. No longer am I wavering. No longer am I on unsteady ground. No longer am I seeking in sin's despair. My feet are planted. How about you? My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Well, He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to sing. For glory to God, sing it one more time. Well, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. How good God is. Glory to God. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Hope and pray that you've had a glorious and wonderful week. Hope you're ready now, amen, to worship and praise the Lord. Let us lay aside every weight, every burden, everything that does so easily beset us. Get our minds on the Lord this morning, focused on His will and His word. Amen. How many know we'll see results? If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. John. St. John in the 17th chapter. For a message text this morning, I want to take it from verse 25 and 26. And I may revert back to scriptures preceding that momentarily. But right now, into the 17th chapter of
the book of St. John's chapter or verse number 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. These have known thee, or known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your freedom. God, that you have set us free from the entangled web of sin. Father, we're thankful for those who have gathered here today, God, in anticipation of a mighty word from you. God, I pray that you would let that heavenly manna rain down upon us today. God, I ask, Lord, for the blessing and the anointing of your Holy Ghost. Ask, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay, this vessel, God, that you might speak to our hearts and to our minds this morning, God, that we may be receptive, Lord, that we may be obedient, God, and submissive to your will. Father, I pray, God, that we'll focus on you this morning, God, to lay aside every weight this morning, God, Lord, and open up our hearts and our minds to you. And I pray, God, for everyone in this congregation this morning. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus, if you will, and you may be seated. Praise God. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, United in Love. United in Love. This is a beautiful prayer, beginning in the very first verse of chapter number 17. And it's a very timely prayer. And I want you to notice the content of this prayer. I want to ask you, if you were in the same predicament that Jesus was, would you have, in fact, the same mindset? This particular prayer was prayed just before he and his disciples entered into the garden where Judas betrayed him and where Jesus was apprehended and taken before the court. Now, Jesus knew all things because he was God in man. He knew his mission, he knew his destiny, and he also knew the time span in which he would have to give his life for those that he loved dearly. I wondered as I read this particular passage, I broke into tears. My heart was so burdened for the not for the fact of what Jesus did, because we knew that he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. But I began to question my sincerity. I began to question my total commitment to Christ. And if in fact I was facing death on the very night that I would have been apprehended, would I have had the compassion? Would I have had the love? Would I have had the desire to pray not for myself, but for those around me? This entire prayer, and I'm going to go back and pick up in verse number 13, and I want to read it very carefully for our audience this morning. I want us to think about not only the words that Jesus prayed, but I want you to think about the setting that he was in. He knew that he was facing death. He knew that this was some of his last hours on this earth. Listen to the wonderful poetic words that Jesus prayed, beginning in verse number 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Notice how he prays for others. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. How prophetic these words are, not only to that time, but has anybody realized that the world is not for Christ? Has anybody noticed the world is not promoting the church? Has anybody noticed that those who are born again, sold out to Christ, are ridiculed, are made fun of, and put down? Christ knew this. So therefore, he didn't pray for himself, but he prayed for those around him. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. and for their sakes. Pay particular attention. I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. This has got me exciting. Not only did he pray for those devout followers, those precious disciples who were with him during that time of prayer, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I am one of them. Christ prayed for me. Hallelujah. Thank God. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hadst sent me. There's a scripture in the Bible that refers to cry, Abba, Father. I'm so thankful that I've been adopted. I'm so thankful that I'm one of them. I'm so thankful that Jesus thought enough of me and that He loved me so dearly that even in the face of death, He prayed for me that I may have strength, that I may be one in the same spirit with Him and the Father, that I may have that comforter within me to carry me through troubled times, as the song says, to break the chains that have me bound, to lift me up when I'm down and out, to make a way when there's seemeth no way. Thank God that the Lord prayed for us even in the face of death. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, listen to verse 23, I in them, thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. And he ends with, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. These have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I want to read from the Amplified Version, if you won't mind for just a moment, verse number 23. I in them, and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. The great unification factor that is missing in the world today, and I would dare even say that is missing to a great extent in the church world today, is love. The love of God, that agape love, that wonderful love, that love regardless, that great and precious love, the grace that Jesus Christ gave us. And if ever the church needed that exemplification or the application of love, it is the day and hour that you and I are living in. Can I tell you, the world may hate us, but we can't get on that level. The world may ridicule us, but we wasn't born again to ridicule the world. Can I tell you, the Lord could wipe them off of the face of the earth, but when the love comes into the church is going to love them that is without the church. That's the only way we're going to have revival. That's the only way we're going to get lost souls saved. It's when the church stands up and loves like it's supposed to love. And the unity of brother and sister, amen, loving Christ and loving Him from the depths of my heart and loving one another and also loving them that are lost, not condoning the sin that they're doing, but praying and delivering a message that will bring them out of sin and break the chains that have them bound, bring them into the church. It doesn't necessarily be this church. It can be the body of Christ. Amen. This is what God has called us to do. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? He prayed for unity and singleness of spirit. Amen. Again, if there's ever been a time that the church needed to rise up, it's today. If there's ever been a time when the church needed, amen, to experience love and to share that love, it is a day and hour that you and I are living in. There is something about the unity of the Spirit. Can I tell you that there's too many schisms? There's too many divisions. There's too many thoughts in our own mind and opinions. If one thing that we can agree on is the baptism, amen, and the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to build upon that, amen. Let me tell you something. I may get in a little bit of hot water for this, but I think it's time the church begin to be a church again. Come on. Not a political platform. Come on, not a justification of morality. Amen. I'm this way. If the Holy Ghost can't make you justified and moral, the preacher can't do it either. Amen. The Holy Ghost needs to come down. The Holy Ghost needs to fill the church. Amen. We need to get excited again because we've been baptized. We've been saved. We've been filled with the Spirit of the Lord. We need to understand what God has delivered us from. Can I tell you, not only is it a political format, amen, but it's not a social event either. Amen. There's all kind of social events you can go to, but the church is a place. If somebody said it's a saving station, it's a place where people are born again. It's a place where people can get delivered. But let me tell you something. If the church is not concerned, the world won't be concerned. If the church is not unified, then the world is not going to unify. If the church is not saved, how can we point others to salvation? Hallelujah. There is unity in love. The Bible says God is love. The church needs to be the church again. Glory to God. The church has lost respect in the world. Come on. Many of you invite folks to church today, and many will ask you, what kind of events do you have? Nothing wrong with events. What kind of programs do you have? Nothing wrong with programs. Amen. What kind of music do you have? Thank God for music. Thank God for singing. But the church needs to be the church. Come on. Hallelujah. Can I tell you? I'm not here today just to catch up on what's happened this week. There's a time and place for that. Well, I'm not here, if I was sitting where you are, for the preacher to tickle my ears, for him to make me feel good about my lifestyle, for him to comfort me because I've been going through situations. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. Come on. I can't bless you, but the Lord can. I can't save you, but the Lord can. I can't revive you, but the Lord can. Come on. I can't do anything without Jesus, but through Him, all things are possible. Let the church be the church again, a place where people point to and say, I can feel something when I walk into the congregation. I can feel the love. I can feel the power. I can feel the anointing. That's what's going to save folks. That's what's going to fill the altars up. Hallelujah. Lord, not how many programs we have, not how many ministries we have, but let the power of God move freely in our church services again. Glory to God. Oh, I long for the day when the shout and the run doesn't call people to nudge in one another and say, look at him. Glory to God. I remember a day, I remember a time when I wasn't concerned about what people thought or what I looked like. Amen. Glory to God. Because I wasn't there to please folks. I wasn't there, amen, to be so prep and proper that I couldn't lift my hands, that I couldn't lift my voice, that I couldn't glorify God. I'm so thankful for a church, amen, that you have the liberty to clap your hands, to glorify God. Come on, church. This is what church is about. This is what we come
come together to worship and praise the Lord so that we can go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel the lost to come in and be a part of the body of Christ. There is unity in love. Not division. Not cliques. Not division. Come on. We need to be about love. Glory to God. Man, I know. Got Bible to back it up. That the Spirit of God can cause 120 people to forget everything else except the Lord. It wasn't worried about who was watching. It wasn't worried about what their neighbor thought. They wasn't worried about where they were going to eat when they left. They wasn't worried about what plans they needed to do next week. They wasn't worried about what song was going to be sung. The Bible says when they were in one mind and one accord, amen, the power of God came down. I'm here to tell you that the power is just as real today as it was on the day of Pentecost. The power has not changed. Something has changed. I would dare say it's been the church that's changed, and it's time for the church to get back to where it needs to be. Amen. For the power of God to move like it should. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no division. Jesus prayed, Father, as you are in me, and I am in you, and I in them. Glory to God. When you try to take Jesus out of the church, you don't have church. When your services are so filled with other things that Jesus doesn't have any room in the service, you don't have a church. Come on. When the church service is on a stringent schedule and we must be out by a certain time, then I would suggest you don't have church. Glory to God. If you're in fact waiting for the preacher to mess up or say something wrong, I would suggest that we're not really having church. Brother Eddie, what are you talking about? When we come together, amen. You know what? I know it's a little thing, but I wish we didn't even have an aisle. But lady, that's so superficial. Well, you would think it would be, until some people won't sit on one side because somebody's on that side. It's not so superficial then. Come on. Hallelujah. Anything that divides us is not from God. And I would suggest that there's more division in the church than there are cohesiveness and unity, then we don't need to call ourselves a church. Amen. Because a church should be solely dedicated to the service of God. Nothing else should matter. Nothing else should ever take precedence over the move of God. Amen. We should come in asking the Lord, take charge of this service in every way, in every capacity. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we need to step back and let the Holy Ghost fill our aisles again, fill our sanctuary again, even so, Lord, come down and anoint this place. Fill every soul. Fill every pew with the power from on high. I'll tell you then, the church will be the church, amen, that God wants us to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious words, wonderful words. Amen. I wonder if we apply them to our lives. Lord, let me be more like you. Let me think the way that you thought.
God, let me speak the way that you spoke. God, let me live and dedicate my life, Lord, after the way that you left us that example to love one another. Love brothers and sisters. Amen. Forgive brothers and sisters. Reach across the aisle. Amen. And love one another. I guarantee you, when we get back to the very essential part of love, the very elementary part of love, amen, the blessings will flow. Glory to God. We'll be in one mind and one accord again. People will notice it. Glory to God. They used to come in the church and say, I love it because you feel such love. Amen. If they don't feel love, then they're in the wrong place. Come on. It may be First Pentecostal, but if they can't feel love when they come in those doors, then something's wrong in the church. Amen. We need to rededicate ourselves to God. Reconsecrate ourselves to God. Let God be in charge of our services. Amen. And lift up holy hands to praise Him. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:8. Be ye all of one mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you know, about the time we get fired up for service, it's time to dismiss. Well, let me suggest a remedy. Let's come in and do it backwards. Let's let the altar call be first. Let's get our minds on God first. Glory to God, I guarantee you. When you get your mind on God, it don't matter what song you sing. As long as it's about the Lord, you're going to sing it from the bottom of your heart. You're going to glorify Him and praise Him. Amen. We need to understand that we are together in this. You're not one another's enemy. Satan is the enemy. He's the one we got to get mad at. He's the one that is defeated. And he knows he's defeated. And soon as the church realizes that, you're going to see the church be the church again that the Lord has anointed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You won't have to pray for revival. Revival will burst out when the church becomes the church. Glory to God. Amen. I remember as a small boy riding home from church with my granddaddy. This had to be in the summertime because I was staying with them during the week. And it had to be a long, long time ago because he was pastoring a church in Cedartown. That's how long ago this was. And I remember sitting in the back seat. I'm going to give away my age here before seat belts were mandatory. I don't know about you, but I was in that generation that sat right up on the edge of the seat with my hands over the back talking to Papa and Mama. My brother was doing that one time with Daddy. My brother had a whistle. He's leaning over, blowing that whistle, and Daddy was trying to drive. You have to know my daddy. Daddy was not a violent man. He was not one to have a temper tantrum. And when Daddy spoke harshly, it was a surprise. And Daddy said, "Boy, sit down, put that whistle up. If you don't, I'm going to take it and throw it out this window." And Mother said, "Charles, you shouldn't be so rough on it." Daddies today would probably say something a little different. Put that whistle somewhere where you can't blow it. Amen. But I was over the seat, and I thought it was customary, thought it mandatory that I say, "Papa, we sure had a good service tonight." And he would say, "Yes, son. We did." Even at an early age, preschool age, I knew when a service was a real service. Amen. Now, come on, I'm not one that says you got to shout every time you come to service. Amen. But if you're so full of God when you come in, you ain't got to have a certain song to get you fired up when you come in fired up. But even as a small child, I knew some services were special, and you could feel the presence of Almighty God. Amen. And on that drive home, it was so comforting, back to Rockmore where he lived. I remember those days. God hasn't changed. And listen, I'm not talking specifically, please don't be offended, I'm not talking specifically First Pentecostal. I'm talking about the church. Amen. And I hope when you say I want people to be born in the church, I'm not necessarily saying First Pentecostal, although it'd be a pretty good place. But I'm not promoting First Pentecostal. God didn't call me to promote First Pentecostal. God called me to seek those that are lost. You get them born again in a Bible-believing church, amen, that's all right with me as long as they're in the body of Christ and living and by the gospel and the truth of the Word of God. That's all right. Man. But the church is taking a hit today because in so many cases, you don't recognize it as church. We traveled a little bit this week, and I love reading church marquees. I love looking at churches. Something special about just seeing church. I like the old churches, the old sanctuaries that's been there, and you know there's history all around there, and you see those wonderful churches and all, and I love seeing that. And please, I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to be judgmental. But there were some buildings, and I look and I said, honey, that's a church. That's a church. Now, I'm not against architectural structure, but my thought was, do they want that to look like something other than a church? Beautiful building. Immaculate. But didn't look like a church. And I'm wondering if the outside maybe doesn't look like a church, that when you get in it, it doesn't feel like a church. More of a theatrical experience or a place of entertainment. Now, I believe in entertainment. I believe in entertaining the Spirit of God. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you don't need to come to church to be entertained. Glory to God. It shouldn't hurt your feelings if my guitar's out of tune. As long as I'm playing it for God. Amen. Come on. I go to church to have church. I go to church to worship my Lord and Savior. I go to church to thank Him for living, for letting me live another day. I go to church, amen, to equip my soul, to reach out to the lost and to the dying. Amen. And again, I know it's not the building. Please don't misread me. It's just that a lot of folks today are trying to change the format of what church is all about. I remember when we first came to Villarica, before we had a building, had one of the most beautiful sanctuaries that you could ever imagine. It was out in the backyard of my great-granddaddy's house. Under the great, majestic sky that God spoke into existence, with the millions of stars that are hanging up there. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many has ever been to a church service where there wasn't a ceiling? Thank God for padded pews. These were old wooden folding chairs. Amen. But something, they didn't bother you, because we was there to glorify and praise the Lord. And before church started, there was a group of the elders, the men. They would go down behind the garden spot of my great-granddaddy's, and they would pick up a rock, and they'd take a rock down there, and they'd lay that rock on which they made an altar, and they would pray before the service started. Amen. And you talk about church. Glory to God. We didn't have microphones and amplifiers, but we had guitars and tambourines, and we glorified and praised the Lord. Brother Eddie, do you want to go back to having church outside? No, I just want to go back to having church. Amen. We can have church inside just like we had it outside. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning with verse 11. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him are all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Unity in love. If you try to be unified and leave out love, it'll never happen. We got to love one another. We got to love church. We got to love the worship of God. Amen. We got to love the Word. Come on, ever how it's presented. If it's truth, we got to love it. Amen. And we've got to digest it so that it will produce growth and edification into our spirit. Amen. And the lifeline of the whole thing is Christ. Without Christ in the church, it's doomed. We need Christ. We need Jesus. He is the lifeline. He is what holds us up when we fall. He is what protects us. I told you we traveled a little bit this week. We went camping, and I don't know what it is about the aging process. Sometimes it affects our ability to think straight. Sometimes we would do things that ordinarily we would not. My wife decided that, I don't know if you call it a bucket list or what, but we had never gone zip lining. Which is okay so far. There's a lot of things I've never done. But then she said, we need to do it. And I looked at her and I said, why? We just need to do it. I've never jumped out of an airplane. And I don't want to do it just to do it. Is there going to be some benefit to this zip lining? Well, we just need to do it. Okay, we'll do it. So we made arrangements. Little did I know that there was that much involved to zip lining. I thought it was going to be like when I was a little boy. I had a bunch of neighbors that lived on the same road that we lived on, and plantation pipeline came through, and they left a lot of cables out there, and we drove one of the cables and tied it onto one tree and across Herschel Reed's little creek to the other tree, because we'd been swinging on grapevines then, and we put a well pulley on it, little well pulley, and onto that well pulley we wired a bicycle rim, wired with some old rusty wire. That was, we didn't know what a zip lining was. We just said, you know what, let's do that. So we get a running start and take off and go zzz, all the way across to the other side. I thought it was going to be a quick zip lining just about like that. They, you know, put the helmet on you and all that stuff and read you your last will and testament and all that and then let you go. But no, it wasn't that. We had to go through a training process. And I'm going to get to my point here. Bear with me. And after we was harnessed up and they said, keep cinching that thing, you know, till you tie it. And he said, you know, he kept, are you, is it tighter? And finally when I said, yeah. That was tight enough. So then we put our helmet on. And we had to practice. Because that thing, I want to call it a C-clamp. And it was just about like, a little bigger than that, but it was a space right there. That's so that that cable cannot go through that hole. There's no way. You can hang up there and that thing's going to secure you. You're going to be there because the cable was bigger than the opening of that C-clamp. But they had to have a space there because what connected those cables were some different attachments, some hardware that C-clamp would actually turn sideways and actually go through in this way, in that way, and even a four thing, it would actually, you could navigate around that and still stay connected. Who would have thunk it? But they had, and we had to learn to do that. And he actually praised us. He said, y'all did that pretty good. Yeah, but we were standing on the ground when we did it. I go through that thing pretty good, standing on the ground. But then we had to climb up, brother. Higher than any deer stand I've ever set in my life. And Penny was going first. I was the gentleman. I said, just let her go first. And so she did. And the very first we got up there, we was doing pretty good so far. We navigated those things around. I found out what they was for then. Because if you would obviously slip and fall, you would still be hanging. And, you know, Christ the lifeline. And that's what I thought about that C-clamp. Christ is the lifeline. Thank you, Lord. Get me through this and I won't do it again. I promise. I won't do it again. So the first zip line we go, and that's pretty good. That was fun. Found out that was one of six. And every one of them had an obstacle where you either had to go across a cable, on a cable, or walk on some little 2x4s that was on cable. But my point was wherever, even though there was some hard times to get that C-clamp through, we were able to do it. Never once did I become unattached to that C-clamp. I went up some steps. I went across some barriers. And the only reason I went across them, because it was too hard to go back to start. It's a lot easier to climb up than it is down. I said, I've gone this far, I'm going to do it. And every single time, that C-clamp, I looked at that C-clamp, Christ. Oh, it was fun to go, and Christ was there. But then we got to a ladder that was straight up. I knew Penny was nervous because her knees were shaking. And I know that we're not supposed to lay hands on people suddenly, but I laid hands on her. And I helped her up. And I asked her later, I said, did you feel that support? She said, no. But then it was amazing how many times that sea would turn just right and go over that obstacle. And then you'd go over another one. And then it would slide. And I said, God, you are my lifeline. There's been some times when I've gotten to an obstacle. God, I can't go back. You brought me too far. I can't go back. I got to go forward. But Lord, please, let me stay attached to you. Let me have that lifeline. God, I can't make it without you. But somehow, some way, that C-clamp was able to navigate every obstacle, every barrier, every pitfall, and give me clear sailing to the next obstacle. Listen, the church will never be the church if we become detached from the sea, from the Christ. It's Christ. We have to have the Lord. We have to help Jesus to see us through every obstacle, to see us through every valley, to see us through every trial. He is our lifeline. Give Him praise this morning. He won't let you fall. He won't let you down. He'll always be your protector. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'll never, ever forget that C-clamp. That was the only thing from me in peril. The only thing to know that if I tripped and fell, that C-clamp would hold me up. Sometimes we'll trip and fall, but Christ will hold you up. Because that cable could not go through that opening. That opening was just right to get you through the obstacles, but to save you from falling. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not promoting that you run out and go ziplining. But I am asking you to understand and realize that Jesus Christ is our lifeline. He is our lifeline. You may think you're going down, but that lifeline will catch you every single time. Take you through the hard places. Take you through the difficult situations. Amen. And bring you to safety in the end. Church, let's have unity again. Let's have unity in not only Christ, but in one another. Let's pray one for another. Let's love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen. You'll see the benefits. Almost immediately, you'll begin to realize. Because Christ prayed that prayer right before He was apprehended in the garden. He could have said, Lord, help me. God, keep me from having to do this. But He prayed for His disciples. Not only for His disciples, but those future believers, which included me. Thank God for His love. Thank God for His keeping power. Thank God that Jesus Christ is our lifeline. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you've lost the joy of your salvation. Maybe you haven't backslidden, but you've gotten cold. You've gotten withdrawn. There's no better time than the present to renew your relationship with the Lord. To rededicate, to reconsecrate your life to Jesus. While no one's looking around, while every head is bowed, and every saint of God should be praying, is there one in the house today that would like to come down and make things right? This is your opportunity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low. Oh, but not one time has He failed me. When to Him with my trouble I go, so let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without You I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Would you sing it with me? So let me walk with You, Jesus. Please don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without I could never, no, never make heaven my home. God bless you. We love you. We appreciate each and every one of you. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer.